He removed the padlock from his locker, pulled on his trousers, and put his coat on over the still damp bathrobe. Tied his shoelaces. He made sure he was definitely alone before going over to a locker with a coded padlock, one with a splash of blue paint on it. He turned the lock until it read 0999. Removed the lock and opened the door. Took a moment to admire the big, beautiful revolver that lay inside before taking hold of the red hilt and putting it in his coat pocket. Then he removed the envelope and opened it. A key, an address, and some more detailed information. There was one more thing in the locker, painted black, made of iron. He held it up against the light with one hand, looking at the wrought ironwork with fascination. He would have to clean it, scrub it, but he already felt aroused at the thought of using it. 3 years. 3 years in a white nothingness, in a desert of empty days. Now it was time. Time he drank from the well of life again. Time he returned. Harry woke with a start, stared out at the semi-darkness of the bedroom. It was him again. He was back. He was here. "Nightmare, darling?" The whispered voice by his side was warm and soothing. He turned towards her. Her brown eyes studied his, and the apparition faded and disappeared.
"I'm here," Ruckle said.
"And here I am," he said.
"Who was it this time?"
"No one," he lied and touched her cheek. "Go back to sleep." Harry closed his eyes, waited until he was sure she had closed hers before opening his again. He studied her face. He had seen him in a forest this time, moorland, wreathed in white fog that swirled around him. He had raised his hand and pointed something towards Harry. He could just make out the demonic, tattooed face on his naked chest. Then the fog had grown thicker, and he was gone. Gone again. "And here I am," Harry Hurler whispered.
Part 1.
Chapter 1. Wednesday evening. The jealousy bar was almost empty, but even so it was hard to breathe. Mehmet Kalak looked at the man and woman standing at the bar as he poured wine into their glasses. 4 customers. The third was a guy sitting on his own at a table, taking tiny little sips of beer, and the fourth was just a pair of cowboy boots sticking out from one of the booths, where the darkness occasionally gave way to the glow from the screen of a phone. 4 customers at 11:30 on a September evening in the best bar district in Drinnerlucker. Terrible, and it couldn't go on like this. Sometimes he asked himself why he'd left his job as bar manager at the hippest hotel in the city to go it alone and take over this run-down bar with its pissed-up clientele. Possibly because he thought that by jacking up the prices he could replace the old customers with the ones everyone wanted, the neighborhood's affluent, trouble-free young adults. Possibly because he needed somewhere to work himself to death after breaking up with his girlfriend. Possibly because the offer from loan shark Danielle Banks had looked favorable after the bank rejected his application. Or possibly just because of the jealousy bar, he was the one who picked the music, not some damn hotel manager who only knew one tune, the ringing of the cash register. Getting rid of the old clientele had been easy. They had long since settled in at a cheap bar 3 blocks away. But it turned out to be a whole lot harder to attract new customers. Maybe he would have to reconsider the whole concept. Maybe one big television screen on which he showed Turkish football wasn't enough to merit the description sports bar. And maybe he'd have to change the music and go for the reliable classics, like U2 and Springsteen for the guys, Coldplay for the girls.
"Well, I haven't been on that many Tinder dates," Gaia said, putting his glass of white wine back down on the bar. "But I've worked out that there's a lot of strange people."